welcome everyone. I think today is a day when a lot of families are getting together with relatives, and that's a good thing. But the gathering that we are involved in now is a gathering of those who have been joined together by our Lord and therefore all part of the family of God. Family gatherings are pleasant in that it's a good occasion to have the enjoyment of the company of one's relatives and maybe even good food. But there was one time when Jesus was with some people and the house was so crowded he couldn't even get to the food. His mother and his brothers were standing outside the house. They thought maybe he had gone insane, and so they were going to take charge of him. And someone told Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers are outside, and they want to talk to you." And Jesus said, "Who is my mother and who's my brothers?" And he pointed to the crowd, and he said, "Whoever does the will of God, the same is my mother and my brothers." So we should be glad that we're able to gather together as brothers and sisters in the Lord, knowing that we are all part of the family of God, and there'll come a day when there'll be no more parting. Today I'd like to talk to you about sharpening the senses. People who are blind often compensate by developing a keener sense of hearing. And the deprivation of one sense seems to cause other senses to be exercised more so that other senses are more discerning. And I wonder if it's possible that by poking one's nose in somebody else's business, if maybe it might be possible to develop a keener sense of smell. Maybe not. But if you don't use your senses, you will certainly notice as your senses become more dull. When you cross the street, if you can't hear the oncoming car, your life will be in danger. And if you can't feel pain from heat, you'll end up wearing bandages on your fingers. If you can't smell rancid meat, you might end up eating some bad food and die from food poisoning. But if a man can't taste, will it be easier for him to stay married to his new wife? You can see the importance of being able to use all of your senses. But how about your spiritual sense? In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, the apostle said, But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There is both an exhortation and an admonition in this verse. The exhortation, or the encouragement, is made in the statement, strong meat belongs to them who are mature. I think most of us want to be mature. At least those of us who give it some thought know that being mature is a good thing. We don't want to be babies all of our lives. The admonition, or the warning, is in the words, exercised to discern both good and evil. If we don't mature, we may not be able to make the right choices in life because we don't know what is evil, and thus we may be engaged in it sometime. There is a lot of meat in these verses surrounding Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14, and I hope over the next few minutes you'll chew on some of it with me. If we don't exercise our senses, we will likely lose some of their use. And that is atrophy. There's danger in atrophy. That is the loss of use, the declination without exercising. You see, our senses can grow dull and useless. Just like Jesus described the Pharisees and the Sadducees in his day when he walked on the earth, he said in Matthew 13 and verse 15, "For this people's heart has become dull, and their ears are hard of hearing." Jesus warned his disciples of some people whose emotions had become dull and their senses were failing. But he spoke in a figure of speech to say that the Pharisees would not accept the truth. Do you see the hazard in growing indifferent to the Word of God? What would be your hope without it? I think the only thing that grows without using it is perhaps our table muscle. And we can all have a wrong impression about what we look like if we never look in a mirror, if we never examine ourselves. You know, the Lord gave the seven churches of Asia a spiritual checkup in the book of Revelation. And out of those seven churches of Asia, there were five of them who were sick. And of those five, there was one of them that thought they were actually pretty well off. One of those sickly groups thought they were healthy, but they were not. And in Revelation chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." And verse 17 shows how that this group, the Laodiceans, who thought they were well off, were actually in the contrary. As it says, they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That is what indifference to the Word of God will produce. We should at least look in the mirror on occasion. But I'm not talking about the mirror that we might see where our hair needs combed, or maybe we need to change our appearance somewhat. But I'm talking about the mirror of God's Word. In James chapter 1, the Bible says in verses 23 through 25, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass." And that would be the word the King James translators use for a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." If we don't look in a mirror, we won't see what needs to be changed. But if we don't look in the mirror of God's Word, we will not know what God wants us to change. If we look in a mirror and forget what we saw, when we pick up the comb, we might forget what we intended to use it for. But if we forget what we read in the Bible, we may forget about the changes we learned that needed to be made. So in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, the apostle is talking about a spiritual checkup. No doubt many of you saw Jared Fogle on television talking about the Subway diet and how he lost all of that weight by eating at Subway restaurants. What did he see in the mirror that made him want to eat at Subway at every meal? I don't know if it was actually every meal. But maybe his clothes were a little too tight, or maybe he stepped on the scale and it groaned and said, "One at a time, please." Before a person starts a diet, he senses something that needs to be changed. And diets might work if you want to lose some weight, but there are other things that are more important to lose. Sin and guilt are much more damaging and their consequences far more reaching. This person once was young and beautiful, but vain pursuits led to methamphetamine addiction, and she got rid of her doldrums and gained a little energy and lost a little weight. But she also lost her looks and her health and her self-respect, her reputation, and her freedom when she went to prison. She could have lost her life. But worse, she could have lost her eternal soul because she was unprepared to meet her Lord in that condition. Instead, she should have listened to the Word of God and obeyed it, that she could have hope. Well, how often do you perform a spiritual checkup? Do you remember how the Apostle Paul had warned the Christians in Corinth to examine their own selves? He wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, and he said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." In those instructions, he was telling them to take a look at themselves to see the before and the after. Maybe before they had been self-willed. They wanted to do their own thing. They didn't care about doing what God wanted them to do. Well, when you perform your self-checkup, do you see that you're a person that wants to have your way all the time? Are you always right and everybody else is always wrong? If so, then maybe you could be a preacher. But if you see that, you know that you need to humble yourself. After recognizing the condition we're in, the way to be lifted up is not by exalting ourselves, but it's by humbling ourselves before God. As the scripture says in Peter, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, or in James, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. I think that the Christians in Corinth, when they looked at themselves, they saw a carnal mind. And the Apostle Paul upbraided them for that. He talked about how that was wrong and that they should instead tune themselves into the Lord so that they might develop a spiritual mind instead of an earthly outlook. A heavenly disposition can result in you can see things differently. Like Moses did when he was on the top of the mountain. You know, before Moses met God at the burning bush, he was leading sheep in the fields of of Jethro, or in the sheep of Jethro, the sheikh of the Midianites. But after he met God, then Moses was leading God's flock out of Egypt into the land of promise. But as a person performs a spiritual checkup, a lot of things can change. A person can change from being selfish and always looking at themselves and always being concerned for what they want, to being considerate of other people. You know, the Christian must be the most considerate person in the world, because the Bible teaches us to seek and save the lost. The Bible teaches us to look out for others, to see opportunity that we might help. And when a person looks at himself, he can see the kind of fruit that he's bearing. But if there is no fruit, if you're getting a lot of things done, but not much of it really amounts to eternity, then the main concern ought to be realizing that there is going to be an after, and that we'll all give an account to God Almighty for the talents that he has blessed us with in this life. So maybe now you're starting to understand how this all works. You can see it. And if your eyes are healthy, if you've sharpened your senses, then you'll be able to tell. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 14, when Jesus was talking about some whose senses had become dull, he said that they could see, but they couldn't. Seeing, they saw not, and they weren't able to perceive. How awful it must have been to have been blind and not even know it. That's how awful it is to be lost in sin and dying and not realize it. But there's another kind of eye trouble that can result. And it can be from inspecting someone else's life too closely. It causes a different kind of blindness that makes it hard for us to, maybe even impossible for us to see our own faults. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, Jesus said, "Why do you behold the speck in your brother's eye? You don't even see the beam that's in your own." He said, "How can you remove the speck in your brother's eye when there's a beam in yours?" If we would just take a look at our own, that self-examination would help us to see how important it is to sharpen our spiritual senses. When you see things for what they really are, you'll be able to hear the voice of God, just like Jesus had described in Matthew chapter 13 of how important it was. Why do some blind people develop a better sense of hearing? Maybe it's the same reason why married men develop a selective kind of hearing. Most of us develop the things that we practice the most often. But if we'll just keep the wax out of our ears, we'll be able to hear better. You know, the King James Version talks about that. The Apostle Paul said that evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse in deceiving and being deceived. Jesus talked about how that there were some who had grown dull and their senses were useless in Matthew 13 and 15. He said their ears are dull of hearing. They couldn't hear, not because they could not hear, but because they would not. It was their choice not to hear. And if we tell ourselves we're okay, we don't need to change, then why are we going to try? We have to train our ears to hear the word that the Lord has spoken. When in Eli's day, Samuel was in the tabernacle with him, serving in the tabernacle, Samuel made his dwelling with Eli. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 4, the Lord called to Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." But he didn't know it was the Lord calling. He thought it was Eli. He went to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You called me." And Eli said, "I did not. Go lay down again." This happened again. Finally, Eli realized that it was the Lord calling Samuel. And therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt speak, or thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and laid down again. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." That's the attitude that we should have if our ears are tuned to the Word of God. We need to train our ears so that the corruption of the world will not turn our minds away from God. Every day we are assaulted by the airwaves on the radio or the TV, if they're turned on. You might be listening to a perfectly decent program, and then wham, some slyly placed advertisement creeps right into your mind and tries to change you into what the world would have you to become. But a firm resolve to do the Word of God can help you filter out Satan's message, just like Jesus repelled the devil in the wilderness when he quoted the Word of God. So be on your guard. If your resolve is lowered, then sin can result and cause the heart to harden. In the book of Hebrews, in that same book that we started with, but in chapter 3 of Hebrews, in verse 12, the Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." That is the consequence of not tuning our ears to the Word. You know, the more and more a person engages in sin and then realizes that they've done wrong and they repent of it, the more cycles that takes place, the easier it is to be desensitized to sin. The more times a person watches an R-rated movie and hears foul words and sees foul deeds, the easier it is for them to say, "Oh, I've seen that before. That doesn't shock me so much." The Bible talks about some who were without feeling in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 18, these ones who had grown to become without feeling were the ones described as having their understanding darkened. These were the Gentiles, those whose senses had not been sharpened spiritually. They were alienated from the life of God. They were ignorant, and it was because of their blindness of the heart. And in verse 19, they were described as being past feeling. Their heart could not be touched with the message of the gospel. It wasn't possible to prick the conscience because they had tuned God out. Similarly, it's possible for us to develop scar tissue by committing the same deeds over and over again, by gossiping over and over, and even after being convicted of it, repenting of it, and then going back again to talk about the same people that we were still guilty before. My dad was playing with gunpowder when he was in his 20s. And one time when he was packing the gunpowder just a little too tight, and an explosive that he was making, it blew up in his face. He was blind for 3 days. And there were scars that were left over his hands and arms as a result of the burns. After a while, he gained his sight back, but the scars were there to last him the rest of his life. And the scars were where the skin tissue had thickened so that it was no longer as sensible as the rest of the skin. And he just could not feel pressure or pain the same way on the scar tissue as on his regular skin. And you know, there are some sins that can cause scars that would make it impossible for us to be convicted by the Word. An addict of some chemical may get to the place that there is nothing that can touch them because of the lies that their addiction is telling them. The only thing that can make them happy is that fix or that drunk. and his body is telling him a lie that may even take him to his grave. Lies can cause scar tissue. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly." There were some very vivid details that the Spirit had revealed. And as the Apostle Paul wrote them down, he said that in verse 2 there would be some who were speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In these verses, the Apostle was talking about some people who could believe a strong delusion. There are people today that believe a strong delusion, and some people even think that the words that are in the Bible are wrong. There are folks who are even religious, people who are even trying to help other people understand the gospel, and they say, "Oh, sinners don't have to be baptized, they need to pray the sinner's prayer." Well, it's written right in the Bible. Jesus said it in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Why are there people saying you don't have to be baptized? Are they more knowledgeable about the gospel than Jesus was himself? Or have they just believed a lie? Well, why do others say that all that really matters to God is whether we're sincere in our hearts? We're all going the same place. Pray that you are never deceived like that, and that scar tissue might build up on your heart because you're listening to the lies of hypocrisy. The power of prayer cannot be underestimated in this regard. When we humbly submit to God, acknowledging His ability to lead us in the way we should go, those layers of insensibility can be stripped away so that our senses can be sharpened to discern good and evil. And I know that we can understand this. Here's how to get discernment. There in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised." They're the ones that are going to have the discernment to know the difference between good and evil. Daily exercise can make us healthy. The Apostle Paul said, "Bodily exercise profits a little," in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. But in that discussion, the Apostle Paul said, "But godliness is profitable unto all things." And I'm not talking about, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, I'm not talking about physical exercise, but it is a spiritual exercise. It is the kind that enables us to develop those spiritual muscles such as faith and hope and love. The more we have faith, the stronger we are in the Lord's service. The greater our hope, the less likely we are to turn aside when we are tempted by the heavy load that we sometimes bear in life. The stronger we have love for the Father in heaven, the more difficult it will be for us to want to walk away when things aren't going our way. So let's work on these, and we can live healthy for an immeasurably long time, well past our physical age. So try these exercises every day. Exercise your brain. But I'm not talking about some kind of puzzle or learning a new language or doing mathematical problems. I'm talking about exercising the brain in Bible study. We can't understand His Word if we avoid it. And if we never read it or talk about it or listen to it preached, how can we develop spiritual discernment in a state of ignorance? The concepts of good and evil will be past us. We'll not gain that spiritual discernment if we don't exercise ourselves according to the knowledge of God's Word. But there's another exercise. We need to get down on our prayer bones, praying daily to God for His strength and wisdom will enable us the tools we need, will give us the tools we need to be stronger in resisting temptation, to know the difference between what is right and wrong, and enable us to even choose among those things which are right, but which are more right. It's good to work at a job. But it's not right to spend all of our time working all of the overtime, especially when we should be gathering with the Christians on the first day of the week. It's possible for us to get out of balance. And if we exercise ourselves according to the Word of God, then we'll have the right kind of balance. If we pray all day, that's a good thing, but we wouldn't have any time to work, would we? If we read our Bible all the time, when would we pray? We need to follow the teaching of the Scriptures to include reaching out to others out of concern for the lost and looking for those who are in need that we might help. And we need to strengthen our memory by communing with the Lord every first day of the week. In all of this, I hope that you'll remember, just like the person who wants to become stronger physically and looks for a personal trainer, you have a trainer too. So exercise yourselves according to the Lord's plan as He trains you by His Word. Spiritual success, though, is not dependent upon human capability alone. You can actually do yourself harm by giving yourself completely to doing good works without having balance in your life. For if you're always engaged in trying to help the downtrodden, then when will you spend time with your family? Or if you're always involved in activities with the church, then when will you take care of those who are outside the church? A personal trainer would typically cater an exercise plan specifically for the individual who's being helped. So consider the Word of God as your personal trainer, and it will give you balance and make you effective in every area of your life as you apply the principles of God's Word in all that you do, in the way that you think, in the actions that you take toward others, and in your daily life as you apply its principles in all that you say and do. How are you today in hearing the Word of God? Have you heard what it said, but you haven't quite developed that level of discernment that makes you want to do what it says? If you have not yet been baptized into Christ, then today is a good day for that. All things are ready. The water is prepared. We are here today to help you to do what the Lord wants you to do, that your sin might be washed away. But if you have been baptized into Christ and there's sin in your life, then repent of it and ask God's forgiveness that you might be restored to your first love. Whatever your need is, we stand ready to help you while all together we stand to sing the song of encouragement.
Why keep Jesus waiting?